We're very happy to see your presence tonight, and the weather was a little rough. I know some of you got wet. I appreciate your effort in being here this evening. Tonight will be our final lesson in this series on the life of the Apostle Paul. It's like when you have a preacher in a meeting, you kind of miss them when they leave, and it seems like I've drawn closer to the Apostle Paul in studying about his life, what he was willing to endure for the cause of Christ, the good life he lived, and I feel like I feel closer to him as a friend and brother in Christ. And so this will be our final lesson. We studied about the second or the first Roman captivity. We studied between the first and second Roman captivity. And tonight we'll study the second Roman captivity. The Apostle Paul was a prisoner in Rome. This was in 68 AD. This is the final year of the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul's second Roman captivity. And so we come to the final year of Paul's life in which he experienced a second Roman imprisonment. He gave his life as a martyr for Jesus. He was willing to suffer and die for the cause of Jesus Christ. He endured a lot of afflictions, a lot of suffering. He was beaten many times, stoned, shipwrecked, in prison several times. Very little is revealed in the scriptures about Paul's second Roman imprisonment and death. Many believe that Nero blamed Christians for the burning of Rome, and key leaders like Paul were arrested and put in prison. Some think that Nero himself started the fire in Rome. They had a very large fire, and many buildings were destroyed. And so he tried to blame Christians for that fire. From Paul's second letter to Timothy, we learn a few things about Paul's final year of life. We notice Paul's imprisonment at Rome. He was charged as an evildoer. Here was a good man, a godly man, one who was faithful to God, but he was accused of being an evildoer. He suffered as an evildoer. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained." And so Paul is saying, I suffered trouble as an evildoer. He was accused of being an evil person, of doing things that were wrong. He was in chains, in bondage. But he says the word of God is not changed. You can't bind the word of God. You can't stop the word of God. It was because of his preaching the gospel of Christ that he was charged as an evildoer. No longer was Christianity allowed. It was now an illegal religion. Nero had many Christians put to death. He had them cast to the lions, and they were persecuted many ways. Paul encourages Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of Paul as his prisoner. I don't think Timothy was ashamed of the testimony, the words of Christ. I don't think Timothy was ashamed of Paul. But here the apostle is encouraging Timothy, a young preacher. He says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." And so he's asking Timothy to share with him the sufferings that go along in being a Christian. Evidently, this imprisonment, this second imprisonment, was more severe than the first. We notice that in Acts 28, verses 30 and 31, that the first imprisonment of Paul at Rome, he had some leeway. He was free to do certain things. It says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And so his first imprisonment at Rome, it says he had his own hired house. Of course, there was a guard that guarded him, but he was free to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that first imprisonment. We notice here the second imprisonment in Rome. He experienced loneliness. Many of his old faithful friends were no longer present with him at this time. Demas had forsaken him. Crescens had gone to Galatia. Titus had gone to Dalmatia. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, notice what Paul wrote in his second letter to Timothy. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, has departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Nantiochus had been sent to Ephesus, according to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Erastus was at Corinth, according to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20. But he says Trophimus was left sick at Miletus. There are some brethren with him who sent greetings to Timothy. And so not all the brethren had left Paul, but seemed like some of his closest brethren had left. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 21, says, do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greet you, as well as Prudence and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. And so there were some brethren here that were with Paul during this second imprisonment. But of his old companions, only Luke was with him. He longed for Timothy and Mark to come quickly, that he might see them again before he dies. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. And so he wanted Timothy and Luke, or Mark rather, to come and see him before he was put to death. Paul was acquitted after the first trial. Apparently, Paul had already experienced one trial. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 14 through 16, notice Paul writes, says, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. And so there are different Alexanders mentioned in the New Testament, but this man had turned against the Apostle Paul, and he warns Timothy to beware of him. And he says, my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. At this time, Nero was the ruler, and many Christians were put to death. And no doubt they thought if they had been with Paul, they might have been put to death also. Says Alexander the coppersmith had done Paul much harm. No one stood with Paul but forsook him. Yet Paul escaped death, though not imprisonment. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 17 and 18, he says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so he says the Lord stood with him and strengthened him. And he says he was not cast or delivered. He was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. Nero had many Christians thrown to the lions. And Paul was not cast into the lions. He was put to death another way. The Lord had stood with Paul and delivered him out of the mouth of a lion. Also, Paul was confident the Lord would deliver him, that he would be preserved for his heavenly kingdom. And so he was looking forward to that heavenly kingdom, to go home to be with Christ for eternity. Paul wrote his second epistle to Timothy during this time while he was in prison, his second imprisonment at Rome. The purpose was to encourage Timothy to stand strong, to preach the word, to endure hardship, to commit the word to others. And so here Paul was encouraging this young preacher, Timothy, to stand fast, to be strong in the Lord. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3, he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And so here Paul was encouraging Timothy to preach the word. Preach it, says, to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so this is the way the gospel spreads. We teach one person and they teach someone else, and many hear the gospel and obey it. And he encourages him to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14, it says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers." And so don't be wasteful with words. Don't use words that do not edify or teach. Charge them not to strive about words to no profit. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, notice Paul tells Timothy, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine or teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. And they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. But do be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." And so here he tells them to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. He says a time will come they won't endure sound doctrine. But they'll get teachers that will tickle their ears and preach things that are pleasing to hear rather than the truth. They'll turn away their ears from the truth unto fables. But he encourages Timothy to endure afflictions and do the work on evangelists. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, exhorted him to be steadfast in service to God, to hold fast, not to give up. He says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And he tells him to endure hardship as a good soldier in Jesus Christ. Paul exhorts Timothy to sound doctrine, to preach the word of God, to preach the truth. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, "But you must continue in things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of from whom you have learned them, that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." And so here he is telling Timothy to continue in those things that he had learned, that he had been assured of, that he had learned from a child from the Scriptures. Yes, that would make him wise unto salvation. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 3, "Preach the word, be ready to in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The time will come they will not endure sound doctrine, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears and heap themselves teachers." And so he is encouraging Timothy. Paul, in his second letter, exhorts Timothy to come to him quickly. He knows that his life is short, that he's going to soon die. And so he writes this letter encouraging Timothy to come where he is at there in Rome in prison. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 9 through 13, he says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, has departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Antiochus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. And so he's asking Timothy to come as quickly as he can to bring John Mark with him, bring his cloak and bring some parchments and books and maybe some of his own writings that he had written before. We notice Paul's anticipation of death. He expected to die soon. He knew that he wouldn't be living much longer. He was ready to be offered as a sacrifice. Yes, he had given his life as a living sacrifice for God. He said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." He was ready to die. He was ready to leave this earth. He says, "The time of my departure is at hand." In Philippians 2, verse 17, he says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you." And so he offered himself as sacrifice. His departure was at hand. I'm ready to be offered. And he says, "My departure is at hand." In Philippians 1, verse 23, he says, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Yes, he was looking forward to the time when he could depart from this life, that he could go home to heaven to be with Christ. He says it's far better. Of course, he felt that he was needed to preach the gospel here on earth. He was not ashamed. He encourages Timothy not to be ashamed. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 11, "Be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus, before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life, immortality, and light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles." Yes, he has called us with a holy calling. And he said he was a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles. Paul was not ashamed to be committed all to the Lord. He gave everything that he had. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, it says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And so Paul had complete faith and trust in God and Jesus. He says, "I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him." He had committed everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was confident that he would live with Christ. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." In Philippians 1, verse 21 through 23, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. To die, he says, is gain." And so he was confident that when he left this life, that he'd go home, be with Christ. Paul was confident that he would receive a crown of life. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, he said, "I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. And so he had fought a good fight. He had finished his course. He had run the race. And he felt and he knew that there was a crown of life waiting him. The Bible is silent regarding Paul's death. Based on tradition, we may be able to glean some. We notice that some of the details of Paul's death. The date of his death, we know that Nero died in 68 AD. And so Paul was executed before that date, perhaps in the spring of 68 AD. The location of his death. He was executed on the Ostinan Road, just outside of Rome, by a military escort. Perhaps to avoid sympathy, he was executed outside of the city. And so they marched him outside of the city and put him to death. And Philippians 4:22 says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they of Caesar's household. And so there were some in Caesar's household that had been converted to Christ. And so they took Paul outside of the city. No doubt they had Paul in front, and they took this block, and he laid his head on the block, and they took a sword or an axe, and they cut his head off, and his head rolled. And it said that some woman took the body of Paul and buried it on her land. We know the nature of his death and burial. He was beheaded. Roman citizenship exempted him from torture and crucifixion. Yes, he was a Roman citizen. Therefore, they could not crucify him. According to universal tradition, weeping friends took up his corpse and carried it for burial. Conclusion, the legacy of Paul left behind is impressive. Think of all the churches throughout Roman Empire and other places. Paul established many congregations. He converted many people. He wrote many letters, about half of the New Testament that we read and study. Even today, about 2,000 years later, the influence of Paul's life, labors, and letters continue to be felt around the world. Yet Paul would be the first to give credit to God, as when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. And so Paul didn't feel worthy to be an apostle. He had persecuted the church. Yes, he said, the Lord had not bestowed upon him in vain. Yes, he labored more abundantly than they all. He is a very diligent, zealous worker. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 and 16, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth his long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And so he considered himself the chief of sinners. Yes, he is an example of God's love and mercy and patience. May the pattern of Paul's life serve to encourage us to always look to the Lord for grace and mercy, so that one day we too can say, I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Yes, if only we can all say this before we depart from this earth, and we can be like the Apostle Paul and look forward to that beautiful home in heaven. He says, for him to die is gain, to be with Christ. And so we learned much from the Apostle Paul in his life. He was a good man. He gave his life for Christ. He suffered. He was persecuted. And he died for the Lord. We need to follow his example. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. All things are ready. Jesus invites you to come. You must believe and have faith in God. Believe that He is. Repent of all your sins. Turn away from your sins to God. Make that good confession the eunuch made when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized. Jesus said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And then be faithful and live in a Christian life. Then you can receive that crown of life as the Apostle Paul has received. And so if you're subject to the invitation, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song.
Why?